Chapter 4. Saving a Country from Communism. I had a romanticized vision of Indonesia, the country where I was to live for the next 3 months. Some of the books I read featured photographs of beautiful women in brightly colored sarongs, exotic Balinese dancers, shamans blowing fire, and warriors paddling long dugout canoes in emerald waters at the foot of smoking volcanoes. Particularly striking was a series on the magnificent black-sailed galleons of the infamous Boogie Pirates, who still sailed the seas of the archipelago, and who had so terrorized early European sailors that they returned home to warn their children, "Behave yourselves, or the boogeymen will get you." Oh, how those pictures stirred my soul. The history and legends of that country represent a cornucopia of larger-than-life figures, wrathful gods, Komodo dragons, tribal sultans, and ancient tales that long before the birth of Christ had traveled across Asian mountains, through Persian deserts, and over the Mediterranean to embed themselves in the deepest realms of our collective psyche. The very names of its fabled islands, Java, Sumatra, Borneo, Sulawesi, seduced the mind. Here was a land of mysticism, myth, and erotic beauty, an elusive treasure sought but never found by Columbus, a princess wooed yet never possessed by Spain, by Holland, by Portugal, by Japan, a fantasy and a dream. My expectations were high, and I suppose they mirrored those of the great explorers. Like Columbus, though, I should have known to temper my fantasies. Perhaps I could have guessed that the beacon shines on a destiny that is not always the one we envision. Indonesia offered treasures, but it was not the chest of panaceas I had come to expect. In fact, my first days in Indonesia's steamy capital, Jakarta, in the summer of 1971, were shocking. The beauty was certainly present. Gorgeous women sporting colorful sarongs, lush gardens ablaze with tropical flowers, exotic Balinese dancers, bicycle cabs with fanciful rainbow-colored scenes painted on the sides of the high seats, where passengers reclined in front of the pedaling drivers, Dutch colonial mansions and turreted mosques. But there was also an ugly, tragic side to the city. Lepers holding out bloodied stumps instead of hands. Young girls offering their bodies for a few coins. Once splendid Dutch canals turned into cesspools. Cardboard hovels where entire families lived along the trash-lined banks of black rivers. Blaring horns and choking fumes. The beautiful and the ugly. The elegant and the vulgar. The spiritual and the profane. This was Jakarta, where the enticing scent of cloves and orchid blossoms battled the miasma of open sewers for dominance.